This whole process we've been looking at for the last couple of years really is about engaging God personally, intimately, having that intimate relationship with God, which engages us on the inside, engages us with the realm of heaven, and so that heaven can flow through us and around us, so that we can touch the world around us with God's love and his power and his glory. We've been looking over the last few weeks really at accessing the legal or judicial court system of heaven, the kingdom of God, in those realms to keep our gateways of our spirit, soul, and body open and flowing. And so we're at the point where we're looking at cleansing those gateways so there's a flow of life flowing through us. And we're looking at today transformation through communion. And I was going to try and do this in one part. It's probably going to be three parts now at the moment. So it will be broken down so that we can embrace it. So we have that diagram of spirit, soul, and body with gateways and God's glory in the middle of us, in our spirit, so that he can engage out. A 3D representation of that, that we are world conscious through our body, self-conscious through our soul, and God conscious through our spirit. And as we learn to engage God in first love in our spirit, we enthrone him, we engage Jesus in the river of life, then that river can flow out through us to the world. Rivers of living water flowing through our innermost being. But those rivers won't flow if there are blockages. 1 Corinthians 6:17, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And we join ourselves to the Lord when we engage him in our spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. So there's a process where God sets us apart and equips us for his glory. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we were looking at this process of looking at within our own life the blockages, the things that through trauma and different things have affected us, so that we have things in our heart that need sorting out. And we looked at how we can do that. And the last one of those was communion. How do we use communion to see a change or transformation in our lives? Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful or wicked, another version, or idolatrous way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's the path that God has prepared for us from eternity, our destiny. So we can use the power of communion to try our hearts, to purify our hearts, and prepare our hearts so that we can walk that path that God has prepared for us. So the power of communion, or breaking bread, or the Eucharist, Mass, Sacrament, the Lord's Supper, or many different names for it, and different traditions have different names. We here talk about applying the body and blood of Jesus, because it's something practical. When I was brought up, it was a little bit of a religious ritual in the Methodist church that I was in. I didn't really understand it. It's just something we did now and again, and it didn't really have any meaning or power. And then I went in, became part of the Brethren Church, and it was almost like a funeral service there, where you just kept reminding yourself that you'd punished Jesus and put him on the cross. And it was sometimes quite moving or upsetting, but it actually didn't carry the life and the power that we now see in it. And even here as a church, for many years, we sort of didn't really do it very often because we didn't really grasp the significance of what was contained within what Jesus had set up. But we've now discovered a new dimension of revelation and truth that is imparted through this symbol of what Jesus did. So we're going to look at why, how, when, where we can apply this. Now, there is a doctrine in the, I think it's in the Catholic Church, called transubstantiation. And it's a doctrine that says that the physical symbols or emblems of the body and blood of bread and wine turn into the actual physical body and blood of Jesus. They actually don't. It's not a physical thing, but there is a spiritual change that takes place. And when we engage that by faith, then the reality of Jesus becomes true for us. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. So there's nothing in the physical side of it, it's the spiritual side of it that actually imparts things. And Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So whenever we engage in this truth, we need to engage the spirit and the life of it and apply the words that Jesus spoke, and we use those words. Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. That was what the early church did. So this was a lifestyle. It wasn't a ritual. It was something they did in life every day. Verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They did it in life. It was a lifestyle. So you don't have to be in a religious group to do it. You don't have to be on a Sunday. This applies everywhere and any time if we know the truth of it and we apply it. So applying the body and blood of Jesus is a major factor in our transformation. It's not just a religious ritual. It's not to be done out of duty once a week or even once a month. It's something that we can apply whenever we eat. So whenever we take a meal, we can use that as the symbol of engagement. We can do that any day and every day. Now, I want to encourage you to go beyond taking communion in the natural realm, because we have access to the heavenly realms. And in the heavenly realms, we can go beyond the veil and we can engage in the reality of it there, which actually removes us from the situation we're in here to engage in at another level. So I've engaged that in my own spirit, on the dance floor of my heart, engaging the DNA of God there. In the tabernacle in heaven, there's a table with the bread of life there. Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. So there's places where you can actually spiritually experience this. Another one which I engage in every day is in the temple that Isaiah engaged in, Isaiah 6:5. Then he said, woe is me, for I am unraveled, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And he was looking at his life, looking at his generational line, and actually seeing that it was not pure. It says, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, when you see purity in perfection, and you look at your own life, there's a thing which doesn't quite match up when we look at it. But God desires us to be like him. So then it goes on and says, then one of the seraphim flew with a burning coal in his hand, which he had touched from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth, and with it he said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. And there's something about giving our hearts to the process where God can remove our iniquity and deal with everything in our lives. And this is a physical place in the spiritual realm that you can go to. And about 9 months ago, God told me to go and do this every day. And I go and present my heart on that altar, and my DNA gets unraveled there. And I want to play a video of this. If you're listening to this and not watching, there's a link to it on Vimeo that you can actually watch this representation of something that we do when we engage in the realms of heaven. And we take our DNA to God. So. Since this is figuratively what I do when I go before that altar. Okay, it's a process that our two-stranded DNA can be reconnected with the third strand of light that represents our spirit. And God wants us to be transformed. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both bones and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we have to do, in terms of God. So Jesus is the living word, sees it all, knows it all, and actually still loves us and wants the best for us, which is transformation and change to be like him. So there are three levels of dividing, separating, or judging our lives. There's the behavioral, the direction which comes from our soul or spirit, what's motivating us there, the motivation behind our behaviors, the thoughts and intentions of our heart, and the genetic factors and triggers that trigger those behaviors. And by embracing transformation and communion as part of that process, we can actually see some of those genetic factors and triggers changed and restored and made whole. There's a song I used to sing when I was little. I think this has been sort of revived recently. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there's power in that. It might be an old-fashioned worded song, but they knew the power of the blood of Jesus, and there is power in that blood. Another old thing I used to like singing when I was in the Methodist church, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That is the truth. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There is wonderful power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus the King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. The reality is, that's true. It may be an old-fashioned song, but they knew something. Now, we can gain a fresh perspective on what that power is, how to be brought back to be whiter than snow, how to have our DNA changed, how to be restored, made whole, by applying that power to our lives on a daily basis. So we can engage with that power to receive the full truth and revelation of what is in it. So we're going to look at a few scriptures that show us what we receive when we engage the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood. So everything that we were sold into, slavery, sin, everything else that we're in bondage to, we can be redeemed or bought back by the power of that, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Ephesians 2:13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were separated from God, now we've been brought into a relationship with him. And we can go deeper and deeper into that relationship. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, that's what he did on the cross, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So all the things that we've done to try and make ourselves okay, or please people and please God, we can have all that stuff cleansed so that we can serve God in relationship without the religious ritual and need behind it. Hebrews 13:12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood. In other words, he can set us apart and transform us through his blood. Colossians 1:20. Through him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, so we can be reconciled if we're separated in any way, have made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth and in heaven. So everything in every realm has been affected by the power of that blood to bring peace, wholeness, shalom into our lives and to reconcile us back into relationship with God and our eternal destiny. Romans 5:9, how much more then, having now been justified by his blood? Justification is a legal term that says you are not guilty. You are innocent completely. In other words, it's just as if you never sinned. That's the power to wash away and cleanse everything in our lives. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. So salvation comes through that. Revelation 5:9. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. So Jesus, through the power of the blood, has opened up for us the way that we can engage in our destiny scroll. In that book, it's now open, and we can have the destiny that God has released to us. It's been purchased at a cost. And that cost is the blood of Jesus. His death paid the cost so that we could have life. And it says in verse 10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And it's really important to see that our destiny is about kingdom authority as royal priests, to have kingdom authority in heaven and on earth. That's our destiny. The blood of Jesus has bought that. This week, a friend of mine in the Engaging God Alpha group online posted this. It says, before my substance was placed in my natural family in the what is, I already had a history with God in the what was. My ancestors too had a history which I inherited, which was mingled with serpent seed. Engaging God's DNA through relationship and communion is resolving my sinful tendencies as I am beholding him. I resonate with the struggle against sin as the Apostle Paul must have found himself wrestling when he said, who shall deliver me from the body of sin? Christ Jesus. Awareness of the wretchedness at work within me increases my desperation for a Savior. What are you experiencing as you take communion? And she asked that question, and people started to answer it from their own personal experience of the reality of engaging in the life of God that is fine for us. So, when we actually break bread here and when we apply the body and blood of Jesus, we have a sheet which has lots of statements on it, which have been developed out of my own personal growth in finding revelation in this. And I want to break them down over the next couple of weeks. So to look at actually what do the words mean, how do we apply them, what do they do, so that we can understand what we're doing. Unless you mix faith and your words align with what God says, then actually all you're doing is taking a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice. So I want to read the statements and then we'll break some of them down. I eat your flesh and drink your blood so that I will not die but live forever. I engage the DNA of God. I embrace the transforming power of the body and blood of Jesus. I engage the record containing the light, sound, frequency of God's image for transfiguration. I embrace the record of the dimensions of the kingdom released in my body by the DNA of God. I engage that DNA record and apply it to my bones for health and wholeness to remove all negative epigenetic hereditary switches. I speak to my marrow, command it to be a new source of blood that will transform the DNA of my cells so that I can be transfigured and live forever. I apply the frequency of God's DNA to transform me into the image of Jesus. I command every genetic record to be re-transformed and my DNA to be resequenced into alignment with my eternal image. I apply the blood of Jesus to transform all impure genetic material, be transformed. I apply the blood of Jesus to all iniquitous genetic patterns, be cleansed. I call all my genetic material to resonate with the DNA of God and come into alignment with my eternal image. I choose to bear the record, my eternal image, conformed to the likeness of my Father and brother in heaven, and to be transfigured to radiate their glory. Let the breath of God be breathed into my life, transform me into a living being, joined to the Lord and one spirit with him. I speak creative words to my DNA to release the supernatural abilities of God. I trigger the ability to see and move in the spiritual realm of the kingdom. I trigger the ability to transform matter, control light and sound. Now, that's quite a lot in there, which is why I'm going to take 3 weeks to engage it. First part, I eat your flesh, drink your blood, so that I will not die but live forever. Now, It's like, ooh, that sounds a bit like cannibalism. Well, it's what Jesus told us to do. It's not a physical thing, but it is a spiritual dynamic. John 6:50. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, obviously talking about himself, so that one may eat of it and not die. Now, actually, that's what it says, not die. It doesn't say you'll go to heaven one day. It says not die. And then he goes on in verse 51. I am the living bread that came down to heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Just to re-emphasize the fact that you don't need to die, it says you can live forever. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. So there is nothing in our spiritual life that can sustain us to not die or live forever or engage eternal or everlasting life. He, verse 54, he who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. There's a change and transformation that will take place, but we don't need to die to embrace it. My flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. There's the relational aspect of him being in us and us being in him, therefore being transformed into his image. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. So the manna that was given to the Old Testament saints in the wilderness did not give them the ability to not die. It just sustained them in that life. And Jesus is here comparing not dying with what the physical things did when you ate physical bread. He who eats this bread will live forever. So we don't have to die. And it's important to get hold of it. Luke 22:19. And when he had taken some bread and gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after he'd eaten, saying, this is the cup which was poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. We are in a new covenant. The new covenant has all the reality of the promises of God and all the covenants of God brought together in Jesus. He has made that covenant with God, and in him we access it. So we have access to everything that was prepared for us. Paul received this in 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, I received from the Lord. So he received direct revelation from God, that which also I've delivered to you, that the Lord, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then it goes on to explain something. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus, of the Lord. But a man must examine himself. And this is the key. Search my heart, O God. We're coming to engage this by examining our life and asking God for the transformation that this brings. And in so doing, eat. So don't examine yourself, see all the rubbish that's there, and not eat. The point is, you eat to see the change in what you see, because you are applying it to a higher power. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, who does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak, sick, and a number sleep. So people had died, were sick and weak, because they were not applying the truth contained within the body and blood of Jesus. So if doing it incorrectly can bring sickness and death, then doing it correctly can bring life eternally. We don't need to die, and we can live in health and wholeness. But we have to learn how to apply it, to know what it is to judge and examine ourselves, and use that to bring transformation. So the plan of God is not for us to die so that we can go to heaven. That is just a religious tradition which has been created. The plan of God is for you not to perish and have eternal life, living out the kingdom which was in you. The power of God, his kingdom, his rule, is in us so that we can live out of that power. So you don't need to die, but actually religion has made a covenant with death. because it offers heaven as something better than earth only if you die. And you have illustrations in again, old songs, which I'm not going to repeat because I don't believe the truth in them, about crossing the Jordan and entering into that realm, which is death. Now, we know crossing the Jordan is nothing about physical death. It's crossing over into our spiritual and physical inheritance as a people, and God has called us to do that. But we need to deal with any mindset we have that has a covenant with death. You can't overcome death with death. Jesus has already done that. His death has overcome the power of death for us. We don't have to die to overcome death. The only way we can reverse the curse which caused death is through the cross. So applying the body and blood of Jesus and being transformed, transfigured, or metamorphosed. They're all the same word in Greek. And it's about being changed completely from one person into another. It's not just a spiritual thing. It carries a physical component with it. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You do not have to be subject to the law of sin and death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we're not subject to it, but we need to apply the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, which is what we're doing when we're applying and taking communion. God's plan is for us to be changed now so that we can overcome the last enemy, which according to 1 Corinthians 15:26 is death. That's the last enemy that we need to overcome, and we have the power to do it. The Bible never teaches a life after death concept, but putting on the divine nature now to bypass the corruption process of death itself. 2 Peter 1:4. By these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Now think of all the promises of the Word of God. They are precious and magnificent, so that by them, the truth, in other words, you may become partakers of the divine nature. God wants you to be like him. He wants all of us to take on that divine nature because we were born in his heart in eternity as spirit beings. And he wants us to come into the reality of that today, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So it is sin that has created corruption. And if we deal with sin, and Jesus has died on the cross so that we can become forgiven from sin and cleansed from sin, then there is no reason why we should not live forever. So there's a difference between eternal life and living forever. One is quality and the other is quantity, if you like. So eternal life is the quality of life that we live, but it's not much point having a quality of life that lasts a few years. You need a quality of life that lasts forever. So we need the quality and the quantity to go together. The only reason that I would die is if there's a record of sin within my DNA. So I have to deal with that record through the body and blood of Jesus, which was why we looked at the video earlier, as a representation of that. So I don't need to die, and neither do you. But we do need to undergo transformation of that record by applying the body and blood of Jesus, because there is a record that we have received from our parents that we need to be restored from to the record that we've received from our heavenly parent, God. Ian Clayton, some of you know, have been here, has met someone who's over 300 years old, still alive, but transformed, transfigured, translucent, and shining, and wears a cloak to hide, to stop freaking people out. Now, there are people today who are actually have been caught on camera radiating glory, because that which is in them is not going to be contained within them. It's supposed to radiate out from them. We're supposed to shine. There are others too, and they don't look like me and you exactly, because they've gone through this process over many, many years, and they didn't have the revelation that we do now. But now with that revelation, we can speed that process up. Transfigured or metamorphosed. So when you have metamorphosis, you have to go from one to another, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. They don't exactly look the same. Or a tadpole to a frog. They are changed and have different abilities. You know, a caterpillar has to crawl around the ground. A butterfly flies. God wants us to fly. He wants us to radiate his light and be light bearers of his glory. So Next statement, I engage in the DNA of God and I embrace the transforming power of the body and blood of Jesus. To engage is to participate actively by faith. Don't just go up and take a little bit of this and walk away. Engage by faith. When you do this at home, engage by faith. To embrace is to willingly, by desire, choose the process of transformation. At the end of that video is, do you want to continue with this process? Do you want to continue presenting yourselves? Do you want to continually apply the truth so that you can be transformed? I engage the record containing the light, sound, frequency of God's image for transfiguration. We're going to look at some of these words and to understand what this means so that we can learn how to apply it in faith. It's always been God's intention to have a people who would rule over the planet and the universe on his behalf. Man was to begin with the garden, which was made for him by God, and then go on to fill the rest of creation with the image and the likeness of God and heaven. What was in heaven would be manifested on the earth, and we would bring the rule of heaven to the earth through our lives. That was always God's intention. So we're made in the image of God, and we're to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. The word likeness means to resemble, and the Greek word is icon. So in the context of computers, smartphones, and the like, an icon is not the program. It's a representation of the program. When you click on it, you engage with what the program that it represents. So when people interact with us, that interaction should reveal the true nature of God himself and provide a means for people to engage with him. Because rivers of living water are flowing through us. The kingdom of God is around us because it's flowing through us, so people should be able to engage God, but not if we're not flowing and not if that light is not being released. So we need to see that there's a process. Rebellion, sin, distort and fragment the image of God so that we do not really represent him very effectively. But he desires to restore us and conform us back to his image. We can use the transformational power of communion to bring that restoration about. It's something we have to choose to apply. Adam and Eve were sinless, but not perfected. They were not fully conformed to God-likeness. So the body and blood of Jesus carries a record of the DNA of God. It carries that record of that image so that we can engage and be transformed into that image, into that likeness. So we can age, we can die, or we can take body of blood of Jesus within ourselves and we can live forever. Romans 8:29. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. It's always been God's intention that we would be like Jesus. Adam and Eve were predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That is not how they were created, but they would have been transformed if they'd carried on with the process, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren, because Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. And we can engage in the reality of that. So Psalm 139, verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days were ordained for me. We have a scroll that reveals the record of who God created us to be and what he's created us to do in his image, in his likeness. But we need to be aligned with that record. So the DNA of God, God is light and spirit. 1 John 5:1-5, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Light is both a wave and a particle. As a wavelength, a vibrational frequency, all of us are called to be light bearers. We were created light beings. So we were created spiritual beings made of light. And our spirit, soul and body needs to be aligned back to that light image. All the possibilities and potentials exist as energy that can be seen as matter. Now, I put matter in inverted commas because what we think is matter actually is only energy with its frequency slowed down so it appears solid to us. Information can be encoded within light and revealed through light. And we can engage with it. Now, you get that in Laserdiscs or DVDs. Information is encoded onto a disc, and then you, with a laser, you read the information that's on that disc, and we hear it as sound or pictures, which is like, wow, 100 years ago, that would have been magic, wouldn't it? But But the reality was that truth still existed 100 years ago. We just didn't have understanding of it. It's like light has the power to read and carry information. That's why we have fiber optics. Now, if you've got fiber optic broadband, it's going to run a lot faster than ordinary broadband down copper lines, because it carries the ability to contain much more information. An external hard drive the size of a paperback book can store about 5 terabytes of data. It lasts about 50 years. An ant, or 28 grams of DNA, would fit on a penny and could store 300,000 terabytes of memory data. DNA has the ability to have information encoded within it. And God's DNA and our DNA are supposed to align with each other. So we engage with the light record of the nature of God's image encoded within his body and blood. So within the frequency that we take of that light encoded within that is the revelation of God that we can encounter. So we can be conformed to that image, transfigured, metamorphosed. We resonate or come into alignment with the vibrational frequency or pattern of God's and our eternal image. There's a pattern that's been created that for us, we can engage with and become like. In science fiction, in the Star Trek series, you used to have a pattern buffer in the process of when they transported people. So their whole genetic code was stored in a pattern buffer, so at the other end, they could be reformed into their image. It's exactly like that. It really is. It's like heaven. In the body and blood of Jesus and in our destiny, there is information encoded to what we really should be like. Not what we look like now, but what God's eternal image of is. We just need to engage it. And engaging in the body and blood of Jesus enables us to begin to resonate or come into agreement with that image or record. 2 Corinthians 3:18. If you didn't believe me, this is a scripture that confirms it. We are all transformed into the same image from glory to glory. What is glory? The light of God. So from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, as a process, we are being transformed into the image which is eternally recorded for us, and we can engage in the elements of the body and blood. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. So I'm looking around and seeing the conformation of this to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the truth which will renew us so that we would understand who we really are. This is a process of being consciously aware of our eternal image. Matthew 17:2, and he was transfigured and before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. That's Jesus. If Jesus was transfigured to radiate light, do you think, being conformed to his image, we should be in the same? Why did Jesus do that? Why did he take his disciples, 3 of them, to see it? Because it was actually the process that he wants us to come into. And if Jesus was transfigured and we're supposed to be like him, why would we think we're not supposed to be? Romans 8:21. Creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. When we radiate that light, the whole of creation will be set free, because manifested sons of God will be on the earth again, carrying the full record of God's image for us. Light, sound, frequency. They're all wavelengths vibrating a particular frequency. That's what God wants us to engage. We need to draw near to it to be able to resonate with it. That's what happens with resonance. If you're a long way away from it, you won't actually come into alignment with it. So you need to draw near. The minor frequency will always change to mirror the major frequency if engaged close enough. So we need to get close enough to God so that we will be aligned with that frequency that will change us. Psalm 42:7, deep calls the deep at the sound of your waterfalls. Revelation 14:12, 2, I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters. Revelation 19:6, I heard something like a voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. That's a voice of those who are now resonating with the same image, that carry the voice of God and speak with the voice of God. That's what God calls us to do. So deep calls to deep. The sound of eternity is calling to us. Will we resonate with it? Engage with that sound. Be in agreement with it. The sound of many waters, God's voice, is calling to us. We need to listen and engage as we actively participate in communion. Listen to the sound and the vibrational frequency that it carries. Einstein said this, concerning matter, we have all been wrong. We've all called matter, what we've called matter is energy, whose vibration has been lowered so to be as perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. Everything's spiritual, basically. Everything exists is connected and held together by the vibrating strings of energy, which is God's grace within everything. That's why we exist. If he stopped observing us, we would not exist. If his voice stopped vibrating at the frequency it was spoken into creation, we would fall apart. Now, I've not got time to go into that in depth today, but I've looked at it before. The truth is, we need to engage with that spiritual realm. Everything is energy. That's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality that you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy, this is physics. Einstein. So if you align yourself with that energy, in other words, his will for you, when you engage with that energy, you align yourself with that frequency within the body and blood of Jesus, that reality will be created. This is just quantum physics 101, although Einstein didn't really like the quantum side of it, but he had revelation of matter and energy that we need to now come into. We don't need to understand the physics of it, but we need to understand that these are the laws that God has created. Man is just discovering the things that God has already put into place, and we can engage it and operate in it. So as you take and apply the bread and juice today, engage it by faith. We're not going to do an actual exercise, but we're going to go into a time of worship. Apply the body and blood of Jesus by faith. Try engaging it in a different place today. Don't just stand there and do it in the natural realm. Step into the realm of the spirit. It's like by faith, step onto the dance floor of your heart and engage that DNA with yours. Or step into the table in heaven and engage it. Or step through that heavenly temple and let your DNA be unraveled and purified. It's like, you know, that whole thing, our two-stranded DNA needs to come into alignment to become three strands. That light, which carries that record of eternity in us, can transform the other two strands if we submit. And then physically, we can become changed to live forever and not die. Everyone want to die, or anyone like to live forever? Well, now today, apply that in faith. Take a sheet, go through it. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we'll go through the rest of the sheet and actually look at how we do that in other ways. So we'll leave it there, but by faith, engage.